We have been in a series talking about spiritual warfare, which is we talked about that yesterday. We've been in a series talking about that. We've been talking about prayer, and prayer is important. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God's given us weapons to be able to fight the enemy. The enemy of your soul, the Bible says that in John 10:10, the thief cometh not only before to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what God says, as we said in his word. He said, I've come that you may have life, have it more abundantly. But Satan comes, he only comes for it. The enemy of your soul only comes before to steal, kill, and to destroy. But we have weapons. We have these weapons of mass destruction in the enemy's camp. I remember when I was with Colonel Allen West, when we went to his son-in-law's graduation, we went to a military park, and he was pointing. So we walked by all these different weapons, and he would be like, "This is this gun, and this is what this gun is made for, and this is what this gun is made for, and this is what we would walk by," and he would be able to name. And we use this helicopter to drop these bombs, and we would soften them up, and then the artillery would come. So he knew all the different weapons, and I thought it was important, because we are in the fight of our lives, that you realize that you have weapons at your disposal to be able to fight the enemy. God has given us weapons, and we talked about them last week. And we talked, talked about, there's really six pieces of armor that in Ephesians talks about. And if you have your Bibles, I want you first to turn to Acts 1:8, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, and then we're going to go back to Ephesians. But in Acts 1, 8, the Bible talks about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, which we've read it before, but I thought it was good to get in our hearing to hear again, where it says in Acts 1, actually we're going to start verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Guys, I know I told you we should do 1:8, but when we get to 8, you can put it up there. "Of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, that's really what's even going on right now. Everybody's waiting for something to happen. Is this the time when Jesus is going to come back? Is this the time when everything is going to come into fruition? Is this when? Because I got people trying to look for Jesus to come back, and I heard the Bible says that we are to occupy till he comes. Everybody's trying to find out. You can't even get stuck in a traffic jam anymore, because every horn sounds like the horn that's going to cause the rapture. You know, you can't in traffic. Here I am, Lord. And Lord's like, no. He goes, and here's what's crazy is that, and I don't understand this. And Pastor Terry and I were talking about this. You're just like, Lord, get us out of here. Get us out. I'm ready, Lord. I mean, some people in the position just trying to get ready for him to rapture them out. Like, I don't know how you're going to do it, but he says this, I pray that you, in John, he says, I pray that you don't take them out of the world. So how are you, and you just, and I also read in the scriptures, you can read it too, where he says that when this gospel is preached to all the ends of the earth, then the end shall come. Then he'll come. I know that there's people who have not heard the gospel message of the kingdom. Is that true? I'm asking you a question. Okay, that's true. If that's true, then why are you just like, he's going to get us out of here? That doesn't preach in those third world countries where they're in tribulation already. Only Americans. Like, Lord, get us out. Rescue us, Lord. And Lord's like, I'm telling you this morning, and you can get mad at me if you want to, because I don't care. I'm telling you this morning, he is not interested in rescuing you out of your whatever is tribulation. He sent us here for problems because we have the problem solver on the inside of us. And so why would we rescue us out? But I want to get raptured out. Listen, you occupy to this company. We got work to do. The gospel has to be preached. So this is where I get upset. I get upset about this. Everybody's like, Lord, he's coming back soon. I don't know. If he don't know that, if the Son of Man, if Jesus don't know the time or the hour, how do you think you know? People just, all these guys are just like, ha, he's coming back. He's coming back tomorrow. I'm like, what? Whatever. He gonna catch me. Good. He gonna catch me working. I'm gonna be working when he comes and catch me. I'm gonna be, the spotlight hits me, I'm already gonna be dancing because I'm gonna be working because there's people who need to hear the gospel message of the kingdom. So I would expect you, I'm just telling you this morning, this is from your pastor, put your plane ticket back in your pocket, roll your sleeves up and get to work. And because there's a world out there that needs to hear the gospel message of the kingdom. I know that probably messes up some of your theology and some of you's like, well, what? But Jesus coming back, he can come back. But he's coming back, and he's going to catch us, the church, at least Sojourn, working and doing the will of the Father. Amen? Amen. Sound like Vanessa. Vanessa's love language is acts of service. Mine is words of affirmation. She's just like, so you want me to tell you how amazing you are? I go, I do. I want you to tell me how amazing I am. She goes, really? I go, yeah, I need that. She goes, her words is affirmation. So I try to do things to tell her that I love her because she says to me, and I didn't understand this until, we've been married, next month we'll be married 26 years. And she said to me, she goes, yeah, I want to catch you like doing stuff, you know, because you can tell me all day long with your lips that you love me. But when I see you take out the trash, that means you love me. That's saying to me that you love me. When I see vacuum tracks in the carpet, that says you love me. When I see you doing stuff, that means you love me. You can say it all day long, but I want to see action, man. I want to see action. So I want her catching me doing stuff. So I vacuum a little different. I'm you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to vacuum different. I don't just take out the trash. I pick it up. You know what I'm saying, girl? You see this right here? Picking up the trash for you. You know what I'm saying? You see these vacuum tracks? One day, this is a true story. One day in our room, I vacuumed I love you in the carpet, you know, just trying to be romantic, and you know, she wanted to see vacuum tracks. And she walked right through it, didn't even see it. Just messed up my little track deal. And I was like you said, she goes, what's your problem? I go, never mind. Anyway, but I won't catch her doing stuff. Listen, the truth is that when the Father comes back to receive his bride, we need to be active and busy doing what he's called us to do. And you got an enemy that's fighting, trying to keep you from that. So he says, I'll give you power. He says this, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall be witnesses. And then he says this, he says that he gives us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. That's actually in Luke 10, 17 and 20. 10 through 20, where he says, I've given you power to tread upon those serpents and scorpions. Let's turn there. Guys, thank you for putting that up. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. And he said this, the 70 returned. He sent out 70, and then they returned. Verse 17 says, and then when the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. Everybody say authority. Exousia, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say all.
All.
I want you to say it like you mean it, all. Because reason why I need you to say that and to know that is because God says, I've given you authority, the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He's going to say, we're going to read it in just a minute, but it says he's given you authority to trample over all. Now, I want to say that. He's given you authority. He's given you power, but that does not mean that the enemy does not have power. It doesn't mean that Satan doesn't have power, but you have power over sin and you have power over the devil. He's given that to you. All authority, he says, has been given to him, but he's given us authority to be able to do that. And so he said, but give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, he says, rejoice, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Aren't you glad about that? Yeah. Isn't that good news? Name is written in heaven. So he says, but there's authority, exousia, there's authority that he's given you. All authority has been given to Jesus. And when he came out of the tomb, he all authority, he whipped the devil. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I bet that was great. I saw lightning yesterday. I was like, that's how fast that Satan fell from heaven. I saw it yesterday when I was walking outside because it rained. We had a storm yesterday all day long. And I saw some lightning. I thought to myself, that is as fast as Satan fell from heaven, like lightning. I mean, that's not just, hey, you need to leave. That's like, get out of here, you know. And so he's been defeated. Satan has been defeated. I'm going to say that again. Satan has been defeated. He is defeated foe. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him. He has no authority, but we believers walk around like a lot of times like we don't have authority. We don't have the authority, but God's given you the authority. Dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. I'm telling you. And they say dynamite comes in small packages. I'm telling you, you have power to be able to exercise the power that God's given you through the Holy Spirit to be able to defeat the enemy and those thoughts. We talked about that. Those thoughts that the enemy comes against you with. I told you that if one thing for you to do something to me, but if you come against my family, you come against our church, you come against the people that I love, if it's a war you want, then it's a war you're going to get. Because God, it's time for the church to get in a place where they're not just saying whatever happens, we'll have que sera, sera, whatever will be, but since the days of John the Baptist, the violent take it by force. I mean, the kingdom of heaven been under attack, but the violent take it by force. We've not been known as a violent church. We've been known as just whatever happens, happens. But I'm telling you, God is saying it's time for the church to rise up and take their rightful place in the kingdom of God. And the reason why that would happen, because individually you take your place as the kingdom of God and see yourself as a son, as a child of God who has been given weapons, who have been given authority to be able to fight against the enemy. There are times, the reason why we had free indeed yesterday, there are times when I pray over our house. I pray over our property. I pray over the city. I pray over the people that are involved in our city. I pray over our state. I pray over our nation. I pray over our nation. I'll be honest with you. There's times when I don't want to pray over our nation and don't want to pray over. I'm just being honest. I'm being vulnerable with you. Sometimes I look at things going on in the White House and I just be like, good night, Lord. Are you serious right now? Is this really what you want? He goes, is it really what you want? I go, no, it's not what I want. Then pray and pray. I pray over Biden. I pray over President Biden. I pray over Kamala. I pray over the presidents of the world. I pray over those who are running the nation, like the Obamas. And anyway, I pray over all the different people. I pray over the Clintons. I pray over all the different people. All the stuff in the background. I pray over that stuff. And I know you're wondering, is it doing any good? Here's what I would say. I know that the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man or woman avails much. The fervent, effectual, wax hot. That word fervent means to wax hot. It avails much. So I do pray. And I believe that something happens when I pray. I believe that something happens when you pray. I believe that there's power at your disposal when you pray. Nothing happens if you don't pray, but something will happen if you do pray. That's why the church has got to get back on their knees and begin to pray and believe. He told us to pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. I'm looking around and I'm seeing some stuff that ain't in heaven. So I'm going to continue to pray. I know it's bad English. But I'm going to continue to pray that God would move on behalf of our state and nation. Amen. And so that's what he's called us to do. So that's so we pray and we pray. Let's turn to Ephesians. I only got just a few minutes because I'm going to talk about these weapons. Ephesians, we touched on this last week. Ephesians chapter 6. Every time I flip over to Ephesians chapter 6 and it goes to the front of the deal, and I read that children and parents, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That was like beating us as kids, you know, honor your father and mother, because he talks about all these different things. And I talked to my mother yesterday. Actually, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. My mother is actually coming to preach for Mother's Day. She's coming to share for Mother's Day. And she goes, are there any stories that you want me to tell? I go, none. Don't say any, tell any stories about anything we got going on. Preach the word. I'm going to tell you what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. You know, she goes, okay, which means she's probably coming with stories. Anyway. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Here's what it says. So let me just do a little recap. A lot of scholars believe that this is a cream of the crop. Paul has talked about your identity in Christ, everything that you need to know about you being in Christ and Christ being in you. And then at the end, he says, of this book, he says, finally. That's what you would put at the end of a paper. If you would put the end of a letter, it says, finally, you need to know this. This is something that's important. Above all else, you need to know these things. Finally, you need to know this because it's a complete circle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Therefore, you stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. I'm going to stop here just for a second. Do you notice that Paul right there, as he's writing, that he says stand and withstand four times in that little group of sentences? He says stand. Then he says stand. Then he says withstand. And he says stand and stand again. Do you know why? Because you need to stand. The church, you as an individual, need to stand against the evil one. Stand means that you stand your ground, that you take, that you're not giving ground, but you're taking ground, but you stand. The church is not trying to give ground. We're not giving ground to the devil, but we stand against what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to take you out. He's trying to kill you, trying to kill your dreams and your expectations. He's trying to do everything he can to stop you from walking and living in the fullness of God, and the church living in the fullness of God, and being able to do what it says in Genesis 1:28, that we are subdue the earth, take dominion, and to be who he's called us to be. And he's trying to do that. He's trying to do everything he can because he knows his time is short. Because his time is short, he's trying to get in and stand. When I played football, the coach would be like, Chris, before the play even starts, you have got to get in a three-point stand. The three-point stand. I played left tackle, and I played right tackle, and I played right guard. And so he's like, you got to get in a three-point stand before the play, because when the play has started, you've got to fire off the ball, and you've got to block, because they're coming. Those guys are coming. They're coming for that quarterback. They're coming for that play because they don't want you to score. But you got to get in a stance and ready to be able to go and fire off the ball. And I would halfway get in the stands because I'm tired. It's practice. I'm tired, boss. I'm tired. Coach, he said, you get in a three-point stand. And so I get in a halfway three-point stand. And one day he came over as I was halfway getting in the three-point stand. And he said, he told the quarterback to snap the ball. And I didn't know that he was beside me. And all of a sudden he pushes me over because I was in a half stance. And I was just like, would you? Oh, hey, coach. You know what I'm saying? How you doing? He goes, McCray, because that's what he called me by my last name. McCray, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting in the plane. He goes, that's a halfway stance. That is not a good stance. You are going to let somebody come in and knock you over off of the position that I've appointed you to be in to guard the quarterback. And they're going to stop to play all because you won't get in the stance. And I was just like, coach, I'm tired. He goes, I don't care. Fourth quarter. And so I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said I was tired. That was like something you don't do. And he goes, well, because you are tired and won't get in a three-point stance, get on the line. And not only will you get on the line, McCray, everybody gets on the line, and we are going to run. We're going to run gasters until McCray is no longer tired. And let me just tell you that not only did the next time I got in a three-point stand, my fellow teammates came over and made sure I got in the three-point stand because they didn't want to run gasters anymore. If you know what gasters are, you run to the line and back, you run to the line and back, and run to the other line and back, and you do that till you throw up, basically. And that's what we did. But he was trying to get me to understand that this is the position that I've given you, and you have to do everything you can to stop the enemy from coming and getting the quarterback. And so my deal was, I remember that God has given you an appointed position in the kingdom of God. And we need to do everything we can to take ground and to score, not to let the enemy come in and stop what God wants to do. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. So he tells us to stand with your waist with truth, breastplate of righteousness, we said that, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, this is going into the other three pieces of armor. taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts. Fiery darts. What do you think those are? Everybody say thoughts. Thoughts. The enemy. I was telling Free Indeed yesterday, I was like, I wish, you know, Pastor Kevin, I wish the enemy would show up so I could see him. Because then I could just pop him, Chief Robert. I could just shoot him, right? You know what I'm saying? I could take my Glock and I could just shoot him. But he never shows up that way. Because then if I could shoot him and take him out, then that's good for everybody, right? I'm saving everybody. But he doesn't show up that way. He always shows up in my thoughts and impressions and trying to get me to show up in those thoughts. But we have the shield of faith to be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. That's good news, isn't it? The darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that would end the three pieces of armor, but it doesn't. It's really, there's six pieces. Here's the second piece. What's the next one? Verse 18 says what? Praying. Is prayer a weapon? Is prayer a weapon? It is. Prayer is a weapon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For me, pray for me. You guys can pray for me as well. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth and boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So prayer is a weapon. We need to pray. God's called us to pray. Prayer is a weapon. You know what else is a weapon? Worship is a weapon. I'm going to tell you, worship is a weapon. Worship is a weapon because it takes the attention and the focus off of yourself and off of the problems and places it on God. Anybody ever been in a bad mood or some issues and stuff going on and turn on some worship music and it changes everything? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Changes absolutely everything. Yesterday, when I got done with Free Indeed, I was excited about Free Indeed. I was excited about everything that happened to Free Indeed. And all of a sudden, I said, honey, I'm going to get my hair cut. And we were supposed to go to a gala that last night. And I said, I'm going to get my hair cut. And I know you're laughing like, what hair? Anyway, you don't worry about that. And I, as I'm in the barber chair, some guys came in and said, hey, both of your tires on your car is flat. I had three nails. I'm talking about just coming off a great experience at Free Indeed, and then my tires are flat. So I'm out there drenched and upset because the rain is like Forrest Gump coming in sideways. You know, it's coming in sideways. You know, we had a little bit of stinging rain. We had a little bit of sideways rain. Jenny, run! Anyway, so I'm sitting there, rain's coming in sideways. And I am mad. I am absolutely upset. I was like, why in the world would this happen? I'm complaining. You know, everybody's watching me try to air up my tires. You know, I found out there's three nails and I'm just in a bad mood. I called Vanessa. She goes, what's going on? Bad mood. You know, that's what I love about Vanessa. She always encourages me when I'm doing something I'm supposed to do. Like in the car, if I'd be like, get out of the way, or it's the pedal on the right. Or, why are you driving like that? And she goes, how you doing over there, Pastor? How you doing, Pastor Chris? How you doing, Pastor Chris? You doing over there? Are you doing good over there, Pastor? You know? And that's the only time she calls me Pastor Chris is when I'm doing something. I'm not supposed to. But it does put me in check. Honey, I'm kidding. I do appreciate you keeping me in check when it comes to that. And so she's just like, you know, how you doing, Pastor? So I'm going to deal with it. And so she goes, you're in a bad mood. I go, I'm in a horrible mood. I'm soaked and I'm upset. And I'm upset. Not only am I upset because I'm just like, how in the world did I get three nails in my tire? It's one thing to have one, but I got both back tires in my Tahoe are flat. And I just can't, I'm not upset and I'm angry about it. And I just told her, I said, I'm going to go, I got to run some errands. And I'm coming home. She goes, all right, I'm going to make supper, Mr. Bad Mood. And so I'm going to tell you what I did. I got in the car and the first thing I did, I was like, Lord, I don't know why this is bothering me. I don't know. I know it's nobody else's fault. I know it's just the devil. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing but that. Anyway, and so this is what I did. I just turned on praise and worship music. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, it went old school. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And so I turn that on, and all of a sudden I begin to sing the choruses. And then I begin, and so every blessing you, and so I'm singing the chorus, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bless the name of the Lord when things are going good. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord when things are going bad. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord when weapons are formed against me. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord when everything ain't going my way. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord when I look around and see things are going down the tube. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord when I'm looking at things that are around me. I'm going to bless the Lord when the birds are singing. I'm going to bless the Lord when the sun is shining. I'm going to bless the Lord when it's raining out. I'm going to bless the Lord when it's raining, I'm getting soaked. I'm going to bless the Lord when I got 3 nails in the back of my tires. You know what? Because it was 3 nails that saved me, because he was nailed to the cross of Christ, and I am redeemed and forgiven and blessed because he is worthy of all of my praise. He is worthy of all of my worship. He is worthy. I'm telling you, try it. If you're in a bad mood, you got something going on, begin to turn on some worship music and exalt the name of Jesus, and begin to exalt Jesus. And I'm telling you, your situation, if the situation don't change, I bet your attitude does. You hear what I'm saying? And so we worship the Lord. I turn on worship music. And I'm telling you what, all of a sudden my attitude began to change, because he's worthy of all of our praise. Now I'm not focusing on the things that is going on. I'm focusing on the one who can change the situation. Focusing on the one who can change the situation. That's why I worship. That's why I worship, because it's a weapon. The enemy comes in like a flood, but like a flood, he said, I will raise a standard up against him. And I'm telling you what, you want to raise something? Won't you raise worship and praise to our God, because he's worthy of all the praise and glory.